Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to get together and let's learn together of God's Word. Hey, it's a happy day. It's a merry day. It's a joyful day. It's a blessed day. Today is also my birthday. So thank you, Jesus, for just another year. I'm so happy. I've had a wonderful day at work and then with family, and so now I get to spend time with you. So it's just double blessings. It's a blessing for me. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. So now, what have you done today? How has your day been? Well, whatever you've done and however it's been, let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. And let's start out by just relaxing. It's just that simple. Let's just relax. Get yourself prepared to hear the word of God. Let's get your sword out. Let's get your pen and your paper so you can take your notes. And if you like, let someone know of the broadcast. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to make sure that we are in the right place with the Lord, that we're relaxed, we're doing what we need to do, because we want to get the most out of God's word. Amen? We want to make sure that we are doing what we need to be doing, and God is a good God, and he's always true to his word, and we're making sure that we're always in the right position. We don't have anything in our heart that would stop us from hearing from the word and keep us from serving his word. Amen. Amen. So we want to make sure that if it's anything that's in your heart that is against your sister or your brother today, that we invite you to just take the time and just ask God for forgiveness. Right now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, ask God for forgiveness. Let's take a quiet moment as we just reach out in our heart and let's seek what's in there. And say a quiet moment of your own prayer of asking God to prepare you for his word. Shall we? Just a brief moment, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's all it takes. It's just a brief moment. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in everyday life that we forget. We forget just to relax and just to make sure that we're doing the right things, that we're in the right position for what it is that God has for us, right? So we at all times want to make sure that we are obeying the word of God and that we are in his purpose. We're doing it with his will. And if anybody throughout the day, anything that comes against his word, it comes and tries to interfere with us or do anything that would separate us from the love of God, it is our duty to make sure that we just stop for a moment and make sure that we're back in the right place where God would have us to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you tonight for just being obedient to the word. And let's go ahead and get started as we continue with our series. It may be some technical issues that are trying to come against the system, but we'll just continue. We'll just continue to go on, okay? The word will be heard either way it goes. So God bless each and every one of us. If you have any difficulties on the line as you call in or any difficulties on the line, just hang up and try to call back in, okay? All right. God bless you. God bless you. So we're continuing with our series now, and the series is where we started out. We're just going on with comfort for troubled Christians, and in the midst of these walks, there are many times that we need comfort. We need comfort. Amen. Can you say that it's been a time in your life, or there is a time in your life, it may be, that you just need comforting? We all experience those things. So in those times of comfort as Christians, it is the way that we handle those situations that keep us in our mind in great peace with God and keep us from losing it and just fleshing out So those are the things that we have to practice on, have to demonstrate before the world, because remember, we are an example, and believe it or not, it's not just a saying, but we are maybe the only God that someone will see today. We are the only book that will be read today by somebody, and we're supposed to be representing the Bible, the best book, the best, the truest, the one that will not lie, the one that will can conquer and make us more than conquerors as we dive into it. So if that's who we're representing, if that's what we're representing, that is a big thing to represent. That is a powerful tool to have in our hands. And then we put it in our heart, and it comes across out of our mouth. So we want to make sure that the way that we handle things, because we, just like anybody else in the world, we have troubled times, and we go through trials and tribulations. That's promised to us that it will happen by our Father. And he said to all that it rains on the just and the unjust. So again, because we are in this world, we know that we're going to have these trials and tribulations, so we have to make sure that we are handled on them according to the Word of God. He has prepared the Word for us on how to find comfort. And so that's what we've just been dealing with, how to find comfort, how to live in comfort during our troubled times. And we've spoke about knowing that God is still working in our life, even in the midst of our troubles. We've also spoke about where we're at now. It's just speaking about that, according to his purpose, that all things work together for good, okay? All things work together for good. And we spoke about a little bit about the work for good. We've talked about the all things. It doesn't say that some of the things, and it doesn't narrow it down, but he does say that not separate or independent, but all things work together. And again, a little bit just about the all things is not just most of the things in your life, or the pleasant things in your life, or even the easy things in your life, but all things work together for the good of us who love the Lord. It also takes the time we talked about the experiencing, all of our experiences in life. It's what makes the word together. When we said all things, we've talked a little bit about that, and I think you're going to understand that. But work together. The together thing is the experiences in life. It's not just the good experiences in life or just the bad experiences in life, but it's also the pleasant experiences. It's all of the life experiences together. And see, we gave some examples on that, that prayerfully it was wonderful, some of the responses we got to that, that said, "Minister, I really didn't get it until you gave the example and it made sense." But just know, when we're living in submission or obedience to God's will, you know, every place in our life has a pattern and a plan according to God. So when we put all of these things and try to make them work together for good, you know, sugar is sweet to the taste and it adds flavor to much of our food. However, you wouldn't want to just make a meal just of sugar alone. Amen? And then we notice that nothing will be more sickening than to taste tasteless flour. It's dry. It's tasteless. And I can't imagine anything more tasteless than just eating just a meal of flour. And then the same goes for it's kind of even nauseating to think about the fact that just sitting down having a meal of raw egg whites. Can you just imagine that? Just that's it, you know, and you're delighted and you're getting ready to sit down and you're just getting ready to eat a plate full of sugar or a plate full of flour or maybe a bowl full of egg whites. That would just be absurd. We just would not do that, correct? However, when we put these same three ingredients that is kind of nauseating to think about eating alone, as we mix them together, by mixing them together by the hand of a skillful cook, these same ingredients will make a marvelous angel food cake. So it's just totally something different among this angel food cake. So can you imagine just them together? Can you imagine the sweetness of the sugar? Can you imagine the flour, how it adds to it? Can you imagine the egg white now? Once it's mixed together with this, just the thing that would just bring out the flavor. Because all of these things added together make goodness. And that's exactly what God is demonstrating to us. All things work together for good, not for pleasure or comfort or even prosperity. It's not your health or your joy, but for good these things work together for. So in other words, when you're actually, as you're going through different things in life, just know that all of those experiences, the good experiences, the bad times, all of those experiences are working together. And together, that's where you will be experiencing the goodness of life. See, it's the ups and the downs that make you appreciate life, right? Yeah, it's not just all good times, because you wouldn't know what it's like to experience. If you didn't experience any bad, then you would know when you're really in your goodness. Amen? Amen. And then it's not just the bad times in life, but that's why it mixes together. If you just hold on and don't give up and don't, you know, commit yourself to suicide and commit yourself to just giving completely up, then you'll see that there's some good coming out of it. Amen? Amen. Because that is the way of the Lord. So we say sometimes, you know, even when we're going through, what is the good? Is it the good of the soul rather than the body? The good of the eternal rather than the present? Is it a good sickness which contributes to the health of our soul? Or is it a kind poverty that increases our eternal riches? We also just say, well, is it even a welcome loss that becomes eternal gain? Is it with a thought in your mind or no doubt? But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:5 that he will glory in his infirmity. See, glorifying in the infirmities, your own infirmities, is more than just submitting to them. No, but no one can glorify in afflictions. You don't get, you know, happiness out of your afflictions. Nobody really glorifies out of your affliction. Amen? Can you agree with me there? But it's by faith we can see them to be the divinely appointed. Then it means whereby we are made more Christ-like. If we could just see that through this affliction, that by our faith we would have to be able to look here and see that through this, it's going to be it's a divine appointment that God knows about. It's not passing by him, and he has no idea that it's what's happening to us, but through this, it can make us more like Christ, or it can push us away. It's our choice, but it can make us more like Christ. You know, we may gladly and humbly glory with him, with Paul, and with these afflictions if we knew for sure and without a doubt that going through these afflictions is going to bring a stronger and in a closer relationship with Christ. Then we would say, no doubt, for sure, yes, I want to do this. I will be a part of this. Amen? But it's because we stand in doubt that holds us back, that makes us wary, that makes us pout, that makes us question God. Amen? It makes us question God. So we can't find any glory. We can't say that through this I will be stronger. Through this he will bring me through and closer to him. He's going to bring me through, and he's still with me. He never leaves me, and I'm going to be closer to him. He's still holding me, pulling me closer to his side. Remember, through all of our afflictions, we have the same choice as anybody else, and that is to choose life or death. And we gave the example back a couple broadcasts ago about Judas. Judas has been an example that through the things that Judas went through, he decided that it was going to take him away from God.
and so he committed suicide. Judas, it took him away from God. However, we looked at the same example with Peter, and we noticed with him, he decided that he's going to use all the things that he had done in his life for the sorrows, and it was going to bring him closer to God. And we have that right to choose. We have, as we face all the question marks in life, who will you choose in this situation? Who will you choose because you're feeling down? Who will you choose because you had a loss in your family? Who will you choose because of that divorce? Who will you choose to serve? How will you react to it? How will you respond? What is the world going to see? On your job, when they're looking at you funny, how now will you react? On your in the church, when on that same pew that everybody was laughing in your face, you hear them snickering behind your back. Now, what are you going to do? How are you going to react when you show up at school and they know that everything that happened to you and it was broadcast or you've been lied on or talked about, you know it's not true, but everybody now is beginning to believe it. How will you react to that? You can look inside of you and pull out the word of God and decide that I'm going to repeat this back to my Father. This is your word, God, and I'm going to stand on it. I'm choosing you today. I'm choosing you to get me through this situation. However it's going to work, I don't know, but I believe your word, and I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on your word. And that I won't be in fear, but I'm not going to let my fear control me. I'm going to control my fear. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to shed tears, but I'm going to be in control of those tears, and I'm going to be able to tell my flesh, this is not the time to cry. I will cry later. I've cried enough. That's enough crying. But it's that I will be in control of what goes on because I'm standing on the word. I should not fear not. He says to be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. So we should make our requests known unto the Lord. And those are the words. Those are the kind of words that we're practicing and learning right now in these studies to put down in our hearts. That's why we're doing it. We're doing it because if you keep it down off in there now, lock it in. The more you study, the more you'll grow and become a part of you. So when you open up this mouth, all of that gook and gunk that was down off in there, and it's suppressed, but the word of God starts to speak for you. Amen? That's what we going to get you away. That's what's going to keep your life. That's what's going to keep you from committing suicide. That's what's going to commit to that relationship. Commit it to your kids. Commit it to that job. That's what's going to make you go on through school, even though everybody said that you might as well drop out. You've already failed two courses. There's no way you're going to make it. Why are you starting back up again? You're wasting your time. You're wasting money. But that's what will keep you committed. When everyone is talking about you, lying on you, the word of God will keep you committed. And then he'll take all of those experiences that you just experienced in life, and he'll mix them together, just like we was talking about mixing together the ingredients. And even though that nasty lies that they was told about you, hey, it didn't taste too good. Even though all of that doubt that you, even your family member was whispering in your ear to give up and stop, even though that was shocking to you and it didn't feel too good. No, it didn't feel too good. And even though that spouse turned around and walked out on you after he had promised to always love you and be there. Yeah, that was just like a thorn in your flesh. No, you didn't react the right way that it should have. But if you hold on, if you stand strong, the word of God said, this is not Vaughn's word, this is just the word that Vaughn believes. But the word of God says that all of those things, he will mix them together in a way. It'll be for your good. So that means that even the professors, he will soften their hearts for you. Even the things that you were having problems with understanding, he may send a tutor just your way for free just to help you. It's somebody that you can understand the word from. You may not get it when a professor first said it. You may not get it when different classmates or friends try to explain it to you. But standing on the word, God will bring somebody into your life that will explain it on the level that you got it. Don't mean that you're any slower, any different. But he will explain the word to you the way it is. See, sometimes when we're not understanding things like that, it's not that it's too difficult for us to understand. It's just that the enemy has so many that hold and stand around it where you can't get a clarity about it. You can't see through all of the demonic spirits there. But when you stand on God's word, oh, hallelujah, when you stand on the word of God, God will knock all those obstacles down. You know when you go bowling and you get someone against a strike? And then it's clear, once all the pins are down, you can see all the bats back there, right? That's the way God will do when you stand on his word. He'll come and clear out all of the pins for you, all of the things that was blocking the obstacles. He will clear those out for you. And now here comes along someone that tutors you and gives you the word, and you just get it. You say, it just clicked. It just clicked. I don't know what it was, but now I get it. I get it. Hallelujah. That's standing on the word of God. That's when you're glorifying in the infirmities as you're going through. You don't submit yourself to them. But as you're going through by faith, you see that this is a divine appointed situation that you're going through. And you see that at the end of this, as you continue to go through, God is holding your hand. He's walking you through it. Hallelujah. And you learn to humble yourself. You learn to be glorious in even in those situations. Paul said that he might have become pumped up after his vision of heaven. And so God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble in verse 7. See, the thorn in the flesh was painful. It was hard to bear, but he said, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What we want to do, just when you get that touch of God, when you get that power that rests upon you, boy, you're a searcher, you'll be willing to go through anything because you know that that's with you at all times. It never leaves you. Even during your infirmities, it's still there. Even during your afflictions, my sister. Once you got it, you got it. Just call upon the name of the Lord. It's there. That's why we invite him to come and live inside of us. So we look inward. All of the lies and all of the destruction and all of the things that's going on outside of us, we can move outside of that. We can kind of block that out and let it fade away and look inward and find our peace. We don't have to find our peace and joy and happiness from some other person that's got on a flesh suit just like us. There was a good thorn in the flesh after all. You know, Paul had asked God Christ three times. He asked him to remove the thorn from my flesh. And Jesus replied to him three times, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. He's saying that to each and every one of us right now. My grace is sufficient. What does that mean, Minister Vaughn, you may have asked? Well, the answer to that is, my grace, you know his grace, is enough to carry you through that situation. Keep your eyes on me. Let me walk you through. My grace is enough to carry you through the loss of that loved one. My grace is enough to find you a better position than where I just moved you from. My grace is enough to cover you, even though you know you messed up on this job. You know you were the reason that you got laid off or got fired from this job. My grace is still enough to cover you to give you an even better place. My grace is sufficient. Don't worry. I know it feels like you can't make it. But keep on moving. My grace is sufficient. The thorn in your side will turn out to be something that's going to work for the betterment of you. And though Paul prayed three times again for God to remove it, each time God's answer was just the same. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know that is God's answer for you right now. His grace is sufficient for you. That's a purpose. And according to that purpose, not according to our will, not according to our enjoyment, and let's get it straight, not according to our methods of doing things or our plans, but according to his purpose, then it is plain that the good that we're speaking about, towards which all things work, is the fulfilling of his purpose. What is his purpose, you may say? Romans 8:29 answers that. Write that down. It said to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what we go through the fire. Remember we talked about he's the refiner? Several broadcasters will go, he's the refiner. And as the refiner sends the gold through, the element is not destroyed. Just all of that gunk to the top, he can just skim it off. But the refiner is constantly looking at the element as it's going through the fire. He knows the right temperature and the right pressures to put the silver or the gold through. That's what he's doing for you. I know it feels like too much for us, but remember, it's a thorn to us, but my grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. So he's looking to see, when do we know when to bring you out of the fire? When he can look at you, his element, and see his image. And see his image. So if you're still cussing and fighting and doing all the same thing, you're going to stay in the fire longer. You may get a breather, but you're going to have to go around that mountain over and over again because he's looking to see when he can see himself in you. Amen. So what is his purpose again? To be conformed to the image of his son. What a blessed promise. All things work together for one great purpose, and we might daily become more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It takes a variety of experiences to bring that to pass, my people. But when we know his great and external purpose, shall we not be submissive clay in the divine potter's hand? Whether it be by pleasure or by pain, by sickness or by health, by joy or by sorrow, or even by life or death. Oh, Lord, that I might only be like the master. That should be our desire. Thy will be done and thy purpose accomplished in my life. The diamond must be cut to bring out its beauty. We all like to see the beauty of it, but the diamond has to be cut to bring out the beauty. The gold must be refined to bring out its purity. Remember, the vine must be pruned that it may bear more fruit. We enjoy the fruit. We don't enjoy the pruning. But I, in my closing, I remind you that the clay must be molded that it might become a vessel fit for use. Child of God must be cut and refined and pruned and molded that he might fit the master's use. It seems sometimes that the clay will be ruined in the molding, but the purpose of the potter is the object of the molding. So do not flinch. Do not resist. But we've got to continue to pray. Pray for each other. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. Let's not pray against each other. Let's not find joy or something to talk about when another brother is down or up or going through. We've got to pray for each other. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way in my life. Can you say those words? Thou art the potter, I am clay. But you're the potter, I'm just clay. And I ask you to mold me and make me after thy will, not mine. And while I'm waiting, yield and still, I want to be still as you work. You say, well, I'm not so sure about this whole process. You know, I understand what you're saying, minister, but I'm not so sure about this. Why would God do this for me? Do you know all the things that I've done? You know I don't even acknowledge his word. Well, let me just say this to you in our closing. Jesus came for you. He died for you, and his reason is because of love. It was love that drove Jesus to the manger. It was love that drove Jesus to the cross. And then let me introduce him to him. If you just repeat after me, open up your heart and believe the words that you're going to say, you shall be born again. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for loving me enough to die for me on that cross. And now I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. It's just that simple. Hallelujah. Now that feeling that you feel, that relaxed feeling that you feel, that weight lifted off of you, that's just the Holy Spirit now coming to live inside of you. And he's going to dwell there. And that spirit will connect you. Keep on praying. Now, if you just pray this prayer, it's very important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. Because according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creature in Christ, and all things have passed away. And it says, behold, I love that word, all things are become new. You need someone who's walking the walk that you're trying to walk. You see, the enemy is going to try to test you. You need someone praying for you on your side. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message here at the blog talk. Let's pray about finding a church home in your area, finding someone in your area to pray with you. I'm available anytime. Just leave me a message. We'll set up something. Any literature you need, let me know. But we've come to the end of another broadcast. This is your minister, Vaughn Dimas, your sister, your friend. I'm here for you. And we love you, but God loves you more. I challenge you, look at all of the trials you're going through and look at those ingredients and watch them come together for the good of those who love the Lord. Good night, and until next time, bye-bye.